We've got a heck of a show planned for you this week. You're going to love hearing Caroline Stephen interview our team of trading experts so you can get the very latest market views, commentary, hints, and tips. And here is Caroline now.
Hello and welcome to another show. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have you company. Have you ever felt burnt out, you've nothing more to give, and you're at the end of your tether? Well, you're not alone. And that's why today we're talking to our resident psychologist, Simone Miller. Burnout affects all of us, and its telltale signs are clear. Simone tells us how to prevent it, and she also gives us strategies on how to recover when you are feeling flat as a tack. What were you taught about money when you were growing up? Louise Bedford shares with us the secrets to wealth creation and how to reprogram your mind to abundance. She tells us the importance of saving and why not to settle for a life anything less than inspired. We also find out that you are the average of your top five friends in mind power. And we also have some trading trivia. But first up, here's the news for the week starting 17th of March with economist Jonathan Barrett. What happened in the Aussie market this week?
Well, look, it certainly was quite an interesting Friday close. Before we went on the holidays, where the market had time to digest what Yellen had to say concerning the tapering. And as a result of that, US equity markets reached new highs during trading, but then certainly came off as a result of that. So it looks like we're going to start the week, I think, on a little bit of a weaker note, and certainly a little bit of uncertainty. And I think a lot of uncertainty has to do with what's happening in the Ukraine and what's being dubbed as Putin's ability to grab land without a fight through a democratic way. And I think that, to me, is the interesting thing, as to see and perceive how the West will engulf this, because it's certainly a land grab.
What sectors is the international news affected most?
Look, generally it'll be a sentiment. It'll be a sentiment that's created. At the moment, you've got a realignment of the US balance sheet through the tapering in the States and then geopolitical events around the world. And it'll be interesting to see how the market perceives this. Remember, we've got obviously the rebalancing in the States. We've got issues in the Ukraine. We've now got developments between Turkey and Syria. So there's a whole lot of developments which at the end of the day just might affect confidence, and that might see traders move to the sidelines and, if not, take profit, and we'll probably might see the market lower.
More specifically, what were some hot and what were some cold sectors?
I guess when you look at it from Friday, you had the mining sector certainly took heart in what Gina Rinehart finally did. That provided some good support there. I guess the finance sector as well provided some good support. But I think those gains that we saw, I think, will be reversed.
In technical analysis, any patterns jump out from the charts?
I guess when you look at the local market, there are a few areas which I'm keeping an eye on. On the SPY, 5,250 to me is a key. If we can stay above that level, then the consolidation will continue. If we break, then I think that's a signal that the market might be in for a deeper, longer consolidation.
How can traders use this information for their trading this week?
Look, I generally feel that let's really see how the economic numbers will evolve. Today we've got a very important one out of China. It's a flash PMI, Purchases Managers Index. It gives us a good indication as to the strength of the Chinese economy. Remember, Chinese economy has been soft. Revisions for GDP have been revised lower. So we really need to see a good piece of data today to help fuel that confidence that we have seen over the last couple of weeks.
Any expectations for the week?
Look, I'm going to have to be guided by the developments in the Balkans and the surrounding states. I actually think it's going to be an incredible challenge for the West and those governments which are pro-Western, close to Russia, that actually have a population which is significantly Russian. And I think that's going to be key, because Putin in itself, he's a man that's certainly out there, but he might turn democracy, you know, on its heels by asking those pro-Russian countries to vote to become part of Russia again. And that, to me, is going to be a big hiccup in what the Western economies have been trying to achieve all these years.
Jonathan Barrett, thanks for your time.
No problems, Caroline.
Sick of being the smartest person in the room? Tell your friends about the Talking Trading podcast and let them come to the party too. TalkingTrading.com.au. And now Mind Power with Louise Bedford.
You are the average of your top five friends. You're the average of their weight, their income, their dress sense. Successful people hang around with other successful people. Wealthy people take advice from people who are wealthier than they are. And do you know where average people take their advice? They take their advice from their friends and family. There are people in your life that you'll continue to love, but they may not be the ones that you need to hang around to drive you on to the next level. You really need to work with somebody who is walking the walk. Not everyone will support your success. Your success is like a mirror. Some people will be inspired by you. But for some people, your success will make those people look very closely at themselves. And if there are parts of themselves that they do not like, they'll look at you and they'll see what they haven't done. And they'll think of reasons why you shouldn't be achieving. Be vigilant. You have to be aware that there are people who are going to try and rip you down, and it might just be plucking you one hair at a time. Sometimes it's not all that obvious. The only taste of success that some people have is when they take a bite out of you. But if you hold yourself back, do you know what? They won't even notice. The only person that you'll be hurting is you. Yes, it's going to be a stretch to become an exceptional trader. It will require you to step up and grow, and it will be uncomfortable. But remember, you can't cling to who you are if you want to embrace the new you.
And now, Psychology Secrets with Simone Miller.
Ever felt burnt out, nothing more to give, at the end of your tether? Well, let's face it, trading can be hard. Trading can be a grind. And sometimes, especially in the early stages, you may feel exhausted and burnt out. No, not that sort of burnout. This sort of burnout. Yep, that's what trading can do to you. Why is it important to talk about burnout, and what are the strategies to deal with it? Well, we ask our resident psychologist, Simone Miller. Hi, Simone.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
So what is burnout, and why do you think it's important to talk about?
Burnout is a state of emotional, mental and physical exhaustion, and it's caused by excessive and prolonged stress. It occurs when we feel overwhelmed and unable to meet our constant demands. As the stress continues, we begin to lose the interest and or the motivation that led us to take on the certain role in the first place. It's really important that we talk about it because it reduces our productivity, it saps our energy, it leaves us feeling increasingly helpless, hopeless, cynical and even resentful. Eventually, it may even get bad enough that we feel like we've got nothing more to give. So talking about it can really prevent that sliding slope.
What are some of the signs or symptoms of burnout?
Okay, there's a number that we can look out for. It pretty much fits into three categories, Caroline. We've got physical symptoms, emotional symptoms and behavioural symptoms. Some of the physical symptoms might include feeling tired and drained, having a lowered immune system, frequent headaches, pain, muscle pain, that kind of thing, or even a change in appetite or sleep habits. Some of the emotional signs we might want to look for is a sense of failure or self-doubt. We might find ourselves feeling helpless, trapped, defeated, notice a loss of motivation, notice that we're becoming increasingly cynical. I have a negative outlook and definitely a decreased satisfaction and sense of accomplishment. Finally, some of the behavioural signs you might want to look out for is, are you finding yourself withdrawing from responsibilities? Are you isolating yourself from people? Are you using food, drugs or alcohol to cope? Procrastination or taking longer to get things done is also something you might look out for, and even taking out our frustration on others.
Is there a difference between stress and burnout?
Absolutely. Interestingly, it's often confused by people. Stress, for instance, is characterised by over-engagement, whereas with burnout, you'd see actually people disengaging. When we're burnt out, emotions tend to be blunted, whereas when we're stressed, we're a little bit overreactive. When we're stressed, we also tend to be a bit running on, I suppose, tyranny of the urgent, and also a little bit hyperactive. Whereas when we're burnt out, there tends to be a sense of helplessness and hopelessness, so almost a depleted, depressed state. When we are stressed, it tends to lead to more of, I suppose, anxiety-based disorders, whereas when we're burnt out, we actually notice the detachment and depression. Also, when we're burnt out, we'll notice that the primary damage tends to be emotional, whereas when we're stressed, it shows up more in the physical realms. So there's some of the key differences between stress versus burnout.
That's really interesting. Burnout's the emotional, stress is the physical.
Absolutely, and it's often a prolonged effect, I suppose. So it's constant exposure to stress that can lead to burnout in itself.
Okay, good. So that was my next question. What are some of the causes of burnout?
Look, it definitely varies depending on the individual and our individual lifestyles, but some of the causes fit into probably three categories. One is work-related, the other is lifestyle, and it's interesting to note that personality traits can actually contribute to burnout. So within that, perfectionistic tendencies, nothing ever being good enough, having a pessimistic view of yourself and the world, or the need to be in control, a reluctance to delegate to others, or definitely being a type A high achiever, can all be personality types that predispose us to burnout.
Which all share traders would relate to.
Absolutely, which is why I chose to address that before the work or lifestyle related causes. We don't aim small, do we?
So what can we do to prevent burnout?
Okay, look, there are a number of things that we can do. I suppose a lot of them start to fit into the category of lifestyle, which I've touched upon in previous discussions. I like to start the day with a relaxing ritual. So rather than jumping out of the bed as soon as you wake up, maybe start with jotting in your journal. Even a meditation can be fantastic. Yeah, at least 15 minutes if you can prioritise the time. But I would like to say that anything is better than nothing. So even if it's 2 or 3 minutes of mindful breathing, that can be extremely effective and give you the right type of kickstart for your day.
Finally, how do we recover from being burnt out?
Look, they sound pretty obvious, but one of the strategies I recommend is just slow down, trying to cut back on some of the commitments we've got, some of the activities we have. Have time to rest, reflect and heal is my advice around that. Another strategy is to get some support. What we do notice is when we're burnt out, we withdraw from people, we tend to isolate ourselves. Friends and family are actually more important than ever during these times. So turning to loved ones can be a really important strategy. I suppose one of the last things I'd recommend in terms of recovery is reevaluate your goals and priorities. Have a think about what your hopes and dreams are, what's important, what are you neglecting that's truly important to you. So deep reflection and potentially adjusting some of the priorities in your life can be a long-term resolution to burnout.
Simone Miller, great talking to you today. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, Carolyn. Have a great day.
If you are feeling burnt out, reach out. Talk to your buddy. Talk to traders in the community who understand what you're going through. You are not alone in this journey, and you will be more successful if you do so.
Want to read the free newsletter other trading professionals rely on? Register on tradinggame.com.au to get your monthly fix.
Our trading trivia question last week was, what year was the gold standard introduced to international markets? And the answer is 1880. Gold was the currency of choice throughout history, with the earliest discovered gold coins dating from the 6th century BC in the area of modern-day Turkey. The value of coins was based entirely on the value of the metal, and therefore the country that owned the most gold was the wealthiest, which is why the New World was so important to countries such as Spain, Portugal, and England. Over time, people became tired of conducting transactions with heavy gold bullion or coins. So, in 1880, paper money was introduced that could be redeemed by the government for its value in gold. And this became known as the gold standard. This week's trivia question is, where was the earliest recorded share market? Find out the answer next week. Most of us have never been taught how to invest, let alone save money. Younger generations are living differently to their parents. They live at home for longer, they spend more on lifestyle, and they fearlessly take on credit card debt. But what most people don't realise is that they are repeating the same financial patterns their parents demonstrated. Louise Bedford joins us again to discuss how to break the pattern and get ahead financially in your life. Hi, Louise. One of the things about our society is that we are so well educated in academic subjects, but by the time we graduate, we're not prepared for the real world. Would you agree with this, Louise?
Completely. And often we're taking the lessons of our teachers, which mean that we're going to struggle to actually earn more than they are earning. Living abundantly is a mindset, and your money scripts, the things that you say to yourself, they really do count. You know, what you've got, there's that little voice inside your head that says, oh, I can't afford this, or we can't go there because I'm not worthy. That's something that is really programmed from a very early stage in life. I think one of the things that is quite telling is I went to my child's school and I said, is there a subject that handles how to handle money? And like money coming in versus money coming out. Oh, they said accounting. And I said, no, I understand accounting is offered. However, I'm after something that will help a person going out into the world that will give them an idea about how to balance their budget. And they said, oh, no, they'll learn that as they go along. Now, this is not innate. It's not something that you can just pick up that, now that I've got the basics, then I'm just going to be Warren Buffett. It's something that is definitely an educated process, that there are definite stepping stones to be able to accumulate wealth and, more importantly, hang on to it.
Are there any stats you can provide on this point?
Definitely. What we've found is by looking at the Australian Bureau of Statistics information and looking at census data over time, they're saying that right now people are having between 3 to 7 complete changes of career with periods of unemployment in between. Now, during that unemployment time, people refocus, but more importantly, they retrain. And usually it's in a completely separate, disparate field from the field that they were initially working in. Now, we also know from the stats that people's accounts and their equity dwindles during that time. Now, most people, they've found, are on a 4 to 6 month process before they're completely broke. So if you look at that retraining process, say you've got like a month or two for recovering because, you know, hey, you've lost your job, and then you've got another couple of months to get the information out there to the world that you're looking for a job.
I'm feeling really, the pressure already.
Yeah, you get the crunch. You do get the crunch. So based on a normal distribution curve, that means that some people are going to pick up a job immediately and others are going to really feel that crush. So I think it's a really good idea to establish an alternative income source to cushion that blow. The other trend that's occurring is I call it the squash. I think Packed to the Rafters, that show does cover that. I've only listened to some of the basic intros for that, but I haven't actually watched the show. But I'll just describe what I mean as the squash. I feel it because I have young children coming up in private school, and I also have parents and also my in-laws who are ageing, and often this is the time that people are trying to get ahead in their 30s, 40s and 50s, that's the time that their career is really booming. So we've got that two-way pressure. We've got the young people that we're bringing up. We've got the older people that we're looking after. And we're trying to struggle to be able to establish ourselves in a career. So this really exacerbates the issue of money being tight during periods of retraining.
What about people who are trying to establish their equity to buy their very first bunch of shares?
This is a real key. I would always back the person with ambition and drive rather than the person with a heap of equity in the market. I can tell you that for a fact. There's a young lass coming through our mentor program who I'm just enjoying watching her. She's struggling at the moment, I have to say. She scraped together the money to get into the mentor program and she felt it. You know, it's taken her 2 years and she's done it.
And how much is that?
For the mentor program, there are a couple of different options that we offer. But for her, she's trying to build a share trading equity of about $15,000, which is what we suggest for people to get started. And that's her second step. That is extremely difficult for her. But you know what? I can hear in her voice that fire, that ambition, that focus. And they're the people that make it. I'm betting on her. I'm absolutely betting that she's going to be an absolute winner in the future. I think saving is an underestimated part of wealth creation. People do seem to think that everything should be available to them right now, that delayed gratification is a thing of the past. So when you've got that ambition, the next thing to do is to back it with action and get a budget and get a savings plan and work out exactly what is coming in to your account and what is outgoing from your account, so that when you've got enough trading equity and you've educated yourself enough in the meantime, because the two can happen simultaneously, then you won't go out backwards, because you do need enough equity so that you can apply effective money management and that you can tolerate some losses.
You've covered a lot of information here, Lou. Could you summarise the main points for the listeners?
Sure. Look, I think make your dreams big. I always feel that that is a key. Stop trying to keep up with the Joneses as well. This is something that I think catches a lot of people. When you look at the things you really need as opposed to want, I think that's an essential key. And also be prepared to go through some discomfort so that you can have a bright future. You know, the people that do really well with the markets, they do work hard, they practice their skills, they surround themselves with a positive environment, they stay in the arena through the ups and downs of life. You know, genius is not innate. A lot of people just whinge and whine and carry on and say, oh, well, this happened to me, that happened to me, this happened to me. But really, we know that trading genius is created through hard work and practice.
Let's give a golden nugget to our listeners. What are the top three pieces of advice you've ever been given in regards to share trading?
Oh, there's so many, just three. The first one, stick to your stop losses. That is a real key. The market trains us to be an exceptionally bad trader, unfortunately. Don't underestimate the importance of a stop loss. And also, be careful who you associate with, because your income will be the average of your five closest friends. And perhaps another one, don't settle for anything less than an inspired life where you get a chance to shine. I think that's a real key. You know, make your heart expand. Your financial processes will emerge as time goes on. So if you have a big dream, your finances will follow. It's just a matter of time.
That's all we have for you today. I'd like to thank our contributors, Simone Miller, Jonathan Barrett, and Louise Bedford. Tune in next week to listen to accountant Jason Cunningham's advice. From all of us in the team, see you next time.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.